This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bean Cooley. Dr. Melfi, the therapist who has helped Tony Soprano confront his demons, has been a key Sopranos character from the first episode. She's still with us, talking Tony through his latest fixations, legacy and mortality. Dr. Melfi is played by Lorraine Bracco, who spoke with Terry Gross last year. Let's listen in to a therapy session. Tony, played by James Gandolfini, is in Dr. Melfi's office and has just told her he hates his son, AJ.
Anthony, I think your anger towards AJ has been building for some time. We have to deal with this.
All I know is it's a good thing my father's not alive, because let me tell you, he'd find this f***ing hilarious.
Find what hilarious?
The kind of son I produced.
You mean because Anthony doesn't conform to your father's idea of what a man should be?
His, mine, or anybody's. Let me tell you, if Carmella let me kick AJ's ass like my father kicked my ass, he might have gone up with some balls.
Like you?
Yeah, like me.
He might have also grown up taking out his anger at his father's brutality towards him on others. He might have grown up with a desperate need to dominate and control. Anthony, we've been dancing around this for years. How you live. What is it you want from your life?
I couldn't even hit him if I wanted to. He's so f***ing little. It's Carmella's side of the family. They're small people. Her father, you could knock him over with a f***ing feather.
Okay. But I have to point out, what you resent Carmella doing for AJ, protecting him from his father, is the very thing you had often wished your mother had done for you.
Lorraine Bracco, welcome to Fresh Air. What's the best advice you've ever given Tony Soprano?
You know, I do love the fact that she continues to try to make him look at his relationship with the mother. I think that's a very important aspect of his issues. And so anything that surrounds Livia, I think, is always very interesting. I don't know if it's advice in the advice sense, but I like all the stuff with the mother. I think it's all very, very interesting. And, of course, pokes and prods him in ways that he squirms, and I like that.
I can't remember how many seasons ago this was when your character was raped.
Yes.
And how did you feel about that? I mean, it's such a violation of your character. I don't mean a script writing violation. I mean, rape is an incredible violation. And on the one hand,
I was stunned.
Yeah, on the one hand, when something major happens in the life of one of the characters, it seems like good news for the actor because you get more attention. But did you feel the pain, you know, when the character was raped?
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, David came to me and said, okay, I don't remember what season or what episode, but he said, come into my office. And we sat down and he started to tell me the story. And I was like, what? Why would you hurt Dr. Melfi? Why would you do that to her? Well, it's a random rape. I said, David, I'm the only decent person here. Why would you do that to me? And he said, okay, all right, let's not get hysterical. Read the script and call me. So he gave me the script, you know, a couple of weeks or a month before, you know, we were even going to go into it. And I read the script and I read it again. And it was the second time that I read it, I said, okay, I get it. It wasn't about hurting Dr. Melfi. It wasn't the violence against her. What it was her morality. And yes, she could have told Tony. And yes, she could have become a gangster.
She could have asked him for revenge, and he would have gladly taken revenge.
Of course he would have. But it was the question of her morality. Who was she? And to me, that was so much bigger than anything. And a lot of people, I'm not sure 100% got that. I mean, my father was standing up, screaming at the television, screaming, tell him, tell him. And, I mean, you know, it was like, well, then she would have just become one of them.
Now, when the series started, you were going through a terrible depression, which you write about in your new memoir. You were going through a bad separation with Harvey Keitel, who you'd been with for years. You had a daughter together, and you were having a custody battle over your daughter. Oh, and you were very, very deep in debt, like $2 million, in part because of the steep legal fees that you had to pay. And you finally went into therapy. Did therapy help you through that depression?
Oh, yes, it did. And medication helped me.
What are the therapy, since you're playing a therapist now and have to really think about the value and the limitations of therapy, what did the therapy do for you? What are some of the insights that it gave you that you could actually use to change your life?
All right, well, you know, when you ask that question, my mind is going all over the place. A couple of things I want you to know. David Chase has been through therapy. And when I met David and we talked about Dr. Melfi, one of the things I said to him was, listen, I don't really know you very well right now and you don't know me, but I've been in therapy and I've been in crisis mode. And therapy was very, very important to me. And I told him also that I'd been on medication. And he was very open, and I say we had a very strong meeting. And I was very open with him because I didn't want him to think that, besides it was a great role that I loved, it was something that I was working on. And I said to him, the therapy had been very important to me, and I wasn't willing to make a mockery of therapy. I was not willing to become the psycho killer. I wasn't willing to become the sex fiend psychiatrist. And if he had those plans for this character, I was not his girl. Because in my own life, I always felt it saved me. And David was very honest and open with me and said he'd been in therapy and been through a lot. And no, he wasn't going to make a mockery of the therapy. Would he take a little artistic license? Yes. I said, that I could live with. But I won't live with, you know, the sex fiend psychiatrist who, you know, dances in the bada bing.
You know, you first became really well known for your role in Goodfellas as Karen Hill, the woman who becomes the wife of the wise guy of the film, the small-time mobster, Henry Hill. It was directed by Martin Scorsese, who you already knew through your longtime partner, Harvey Keitel. In the film, your character of Karen is Jewish, and of course Henry Hill is Italian.
Italian Irish.
Now, you grew up in you're Catholic, you grew up in Bay Ridge, and then when you were a little older your family moved to a neighborhood in Long Island that was primarily Jewish. And you said, you know, all your friends were in B'nai B'rith, so you wanted to join too, even though you're Catholic, but that's what everybody was doing. So did spending part of your growing up time in a Jewish neighborhood help you in playing Karen?
I think it's why Marty gave me the role.
How did it help
you? I mean, that's because I knew both sides of the coin. I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood. I was the only, you know, Catholic kid. And I was Catholic with an Italian father at home. So I understood both lives. And that intrigued Marty. And Marty always felt I could play Jewish, not just Italian. I could do that. And the fact that I was from Long Island, and that's where Karen Hill was originally from Lawrence.
Well, I want to play a scene from Goodfellas, and this is a scene you and Henry Hill have recently married, but you're both living in your parents' house. And In this scene, Henry Hill has been out all night, and it's not the first time. And your mother is really mad at him, and I think she's kind of mad at you for marrying him in the first place. So this is a scene with you and your mother.
And just, I know this has got nothing to do with nothing, but you realize Suzanne Shepherd, who plays my mother in Goodfellas, plays... Come on, Terry. Come on, it's a great trivia question.
I don't know.
Plays Edie's mother in Sopranos.
No, really?
Same actress.
I didn't realize that.
Ah, see?
Oh, you got me. That's great.
All right, just a little trivia.
Well, that's great. Well, let's hear the scene and we can think about that as we listen.
He didn't call? He's with his friends.
What kind of a person doesn't call?
Ma, he's a grown-up. He doesn't have to call every 5 minutes.
If he was such a grown-up, why doesn't he get you to an apartment?
Oy, don't start. Mom, you're the one who wanted us here.
Listen, you're here a month, and sometimes I know he doesn't come home at all. What kind of people are these?
Ma, what do you want me to do?
Do? What can you do? He's not Jewish. Did you know how these people live? Did you know what they were like? Your father never stayed out all night without calling.
Stay out? Daddy never went out at all, Ma. Keep out of it! You don't know how I feel!
Feel? How do you feel now? You don't know where he is. You don't know who he's with.
He's with his friends! Dad!
Will you leave him out of this? He suffered enough. The man hasn't been able to digest a decent meal in 6 weeks.
That's my guest, Lorraine Bracco, with Suzanne Shepherd in a scene from Goodfellas. I have another question about Dr. Melfi. One of the things I sometimes wonder about Dr. Melfi is this. When seeing Tony Soprano, would she really be wearing skirts and stockings that reveal her very beautiful legs? Or would she be trying to be as like non-sexual as possible in a therapy relationship like that?
Okay, so I have a couple of things on the subject. Are you ready?
Yes.
One... Terry.
Yes.
It is a TV show. And Mr. Gandolfini goes to our fantastic costume designer, Juliet, and begs her to shorten my skirts. Just so you know, a little artistic license there. If you know me and if you meet me, you will see I'm a much more alive woman than Dr. Melfi. And I have a big sexuality about me. So Dr. Melfi is, for me, I work so hard to tone her down and not be me. People just can't believe when they meet me in person, they say, oh my God, they make you so ugly on television. But because I don't bring in me, I don't bring in Lorraine Bracco. Yes, there's a part of me I bring in, but I have to glue my ass down to the chair. I have to get rid of me to make her.
Lorraine Bracco, thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, you're sweet, Terry. I hope you had fun.
Lorraine Bracco speaking to Terry Gross last year. The final episodes of The Sopranos begin rolling out on HBO Sunday. This is Fresh Air.